What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
President Trump is a peacemaker, and he is mediating a brutal meat grinder war to a truce. And that's going to take some time, and both sides are going to have to give, and he's going to have to see how far both sides are willing to go. And you know, there is nobody that is better positioned and can bring the parties to the table than Donald Trump. And I think he should be given the support of really all these elected politicians that are doing nothing to help Ukraine settle this war, to help with the rebuilding of Ukraine.
So you have Matt Whitaker there, the U.S. ambassador to NATO, talking about how President Trump is a peacemaker mediating a brutal meat grinder war to a truce. And that's what we're all watching is in Washington, D.C. today at the White House. Zelensky and the European Union leaders come together to seek peace. Let's get our guest on here. Welcome back to the show, Senator Eric Schmidt. We've got a lot to talk to you about here in an amount of time. We're going to breeze through it. But I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about President Trump, what he's doing right now to try to seek peace between Russia and Ukraine.
Yeah, I'm just grateful we have a president that's very focused on that, right? I mean, we saw 4 years of not really having a plan other than just sending taxpayer dollars over to Ukraine without a plan and a blank check. President Trump is trying to bring these parties together. He's the only person literally in the world who can do that. He met with Putin. He's meeting with Zelensky today with the hope that this leads to a trilateral, meeting that President Trump can help broker an end to the war. It's been a bloodbath. Matt Whitaker's right. It's a meat grinder. It's a war of attrition at this point. Over 1 million people have died. And so I think he's trying to bring resolution to it. And I applaud him for it.
Senator Schmidt speaking with us right now. Do you feel as though like there's so much media noise right now because we're kind of in this purgatory between President Trump has managed to get Vladimir Putin on American soil to have a conversation with him. Now he's got Zelensky here in D.C. There's a lot of fodder for the media types out there to lob against Donald Trump with all the usual types of criticisms. When you're in your position as an attorney general, when you were in the state of Missouri, or if you're as a senator, or if you're the president of the United States, is that just all outside noise? Does it get into the conversations at all?
Well, I think there are some things that the conversation's more appropriate kind of in real time. But then there are some things like international diplomacy that take a little bit more time. And I think that with a 24-hour news cycle, like on cable TV, I mean, you're going to have a panel, they're going to talk about this, they're going to talk about that. I think there's a kind of a risk when you're talking about dealing with countries who are at war, who have their own national interests, their own historical context, all this. You want to give it a little bit of air, a little bit of room to breathe. I do find it fascinating, though. I was on Fox News Sunday yesterday and said something similar, which is the people who are being critical of this, though, honestly, are the people who've been wrong about so many things for so long. They don't have any solutions. Like ask, you know, Democrat Senator Chris Murphy, who's criticizing President Trump, what's your solution? Is the solution that this just goes on forever? Is the solution that we wouldn't meet with Putin or we wouldn't, you know, try to bring this thing together? That's the wrong course. We need to actually meet with people who, you know, wouldn't be somebody that you necessarily want to marry your daughter, but happen to be leading a country and you're trying to broker a peace. That's diplomacy. It's hard and it doesn't happen overnight. And I think that's the process the president's engaged in right now.
Yeah, we're not engaging in a moral transformation of Vladimir Putin. We want him to stop killing Ukrainians and capturing their children and you know, all of the horrendous things that Vladimir Putin has been engaged in. It's, I think, measuring an achievable goal here. When I watch, I did see you on the Sunday shows, and I was thinking to myself, some of these people want Donald Trump to fail because they're more invested in his failure than they are in actual world peace.
Yeah, or they kind of want some proxy war to go on forever. And that's just, you know, you look at the Ukrainians, even how they view this, the polling in 2 years has flipped dramatically. You've got 70% of Ukrainians now that want to get to a negotiated peace. And so, again, the only person on the planet who can do that's President Trump. I think we all, whether you're Republican or a Democrat, should applaud him for going down this road because he doesn't have to. I mean, look, if the United States is involved with this, you know, our daily lives sort of go on. He's trying to be, you know, he's already struck a number of deals, whether it's Pakistan and India or Azerbaijan and Armenia. He's really trying on the world stage to help bring about peace. And this is a tough nut to crack, but he's given it a shot.
Senator Eric Schmidt speaking with us right now. Last question on the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Secretary Marco Rubio just said this weekend on the Sunday shows, he said, you know, there's the difference between a negotiated peace and a surrender. We're not going to get a surrender here from either of these two parties, which means there are going to be concessions made by both sides. And Donald Trump has repeatedly said, President Trump said, this is up to them to decide how this ends. They are the ones who have to make a deal. But of course, here on the home front, it's going to, whatever happens, those concessions are going to be used as political capital against Donald Trump. Do you have an expectation as to what kind of concessions that you would like to see and those that you really think would not be good for future peace and for the United States' partnership there?
Well, I think, you know, there's going to be this comes down to territory, right? And that's going to be up to the Ukrainians and the Russians to figure out what that looks like. I mean, I think the idea that somehow Crimea, which was, you know, the Russians took without a shot being fired when Barack Obama was in office in 2014, that somehow is going to end up back in Ukrainian hands is a fantasy. That's not going to happen. So you're dealing with a, you know, sort of where they're at right now and what that looks like. I don't think there's any appetite for American troops to be part of any kind of like peacekeeping. I don't think that's on the table. But Europeans need to step up in a much more meaningful way, not just for their national defense, but the role that they can play in helping bring this war to an end too. And I think that's one of the good things why they're in Washington today in meeting also. I think, again, you know, you saw this stupid narrative that Marco Rubio sort of called out, Secretary Rubio called out, like somehow this was to prevent Zelensky from being bullied. No, this is actually what leadership is. You bring parties of maybe somewhat divergent interests together and find a resolution. And that's what he's doing.
Yeah. And President Trump seems to do it over and over and over again. I think back to that press conference where the reporter's like, why do you think you can do this? And he says, that's what I do. It was really that simple. We're speaking with Senator Eric Schmidt. I want to talk to you about your book that is out right now, The Last Line of Defense, How to Beat the Left in Court. Because while this might be kind of a storytelling of your experience as the attorney general for the state of Missouri, it's still very, all of this is very relevant today. You have fought the far overreaching left in court and won again and again and again. And I tie it into what the media part of the conversation we're having right now. The left uses, it seems like they go on these wild pursuits of these crazy policies. You have to be crazy enough to take them to court. And then when you do, you win, Senator Eric Schmidt. They need the media to go along to make the narrative so much that you are supposed to be afraid to do that, to take it to court and to win on behalf of the American people. You were unafraid and you won again and again. Talk to me about The Last Line of Defense, How to Beat the Left in Court, this book. What are people going to get?
Yeah, I think for your audience in particular, I mean, I'm, you know, native St. Louisan and was on your show as this was unfolding in real time when I was Missouri's attorney general. And I just thought this story is a very important story to tell. This was a crazy time. This was the time of lockdowns and mandatory COVID vaccines and masking five-year-olds and a vast censorship enterprise. And what I found was that what people are looking for most is authentic leadership. They want somebody who's going to stand up and fight for them. And that was my experience. And so there's a playbook that can be drawn from that, which is why, you know, I'll be doing a lot of shows talking about this. But I really think for your audience, and by the way, Last Line of Defense, How to Beat the Left of Court, you can go on Amazon right now on your phone and order it. And I think your audience is going to love it because this is a national story that happened right here in Missouri. And there's a lot of cool anecdotes about taking Fauci's deposition, taking the FBI agent that was trying to pre-bunk the Hunter Biden laptop story. There's a great story in there during the bicentennial 4 years ago in Jefferson City and the difference between masking policies. I think the audience will love it because it's about Missouri. But it's about that, I think, willingness to fight your way into the arena, push back and win. And we see now what the left is doing to try to thwart the will of the people, President Trump's agenda. And there's some lessons learned from those fights here in Missouri that can be drawn for the fights ahead.
It's so true. And I remember feeling a little bit like we were on ground zero here in St. Louis because of what you were willing to do as the attorney general here. it felt very hopeless for people who felt like, I think that I'm a common sense person. Like, this stuff to me feels like it's absolutely crazy.
Annie, what's interesting is, so I've never written a book before, but the process of this really, in the first couple chapters, basically that's the point. I said, let's get in the DeLorean and go back in time now to what it was really like in that moment. And if you remember, you had Sam Page and you had all these people shutting down restaurants. You had school administrators, even though COVID didn't affect kids, no kids were dying of COVID, but yet it was hard to find people who were, you know, in public who were elected willing to stand up and say, you know what? We're not going to allow you to mask 5-year-olds anymore. Somebody shouldn't lose their job that they've had for 20 years as they provide for their family because they make the decision not to take the COVID shot. People should be able to make that decision. So in this book, we outlined, for example, Missouri brought that case against the vaccine mandates. We took it to the Supreme Court and we won. Missouri brought the student loan debt forgiveness case that got ultimately Biden got struck down at the Supreme Court because Missouri had this little known loan servicing agency called Mohila. I remember Mohila well because I got monthly bills or invoices for them for my student loans. So we took, and then of course, the most infamous case is the Missouri versus Biden case where we uncovered this censorship enterprise that was before Elon Musk had bought Twitter and before these congressional investigations. So ground zero, protecting people's liberties and fighting back of the Biden administration happened right here in Missouri. And I'm grateful to be able to tell this story about what it takes to push back and win.
Well, the book is The Last Line of Defense, How to Beat the Left in Court, Senator Eric Schmidt's book. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it where books are available. One quote here from the book that I want you to comment on a little bit. We were on the front line of freedom and the last line of defense until Trump could return. The thought of what we were doing, watching you do here in the state of Missouri on behalf of people in all other states, including Illinois myself, I just looked it up. It was May of 2023 when Governor Pritzker lifted the emergency mandate in the state of Illinois, which is outrageous. But you say until Trump could return. How do you view what you were working totally against the grain in Missouri? How does that feed into Donald Trump's back in 2025?
Yeah, again, if you go back in time, think about this. President Trump was out of power. His allies were out of power. It kind of fell to some relatively unknown figures, and I would put myself in that class, who were going to push back. And in looking back on it now, on the other side of the fever dream, which is what it felt like, right? I think it's easy now to not remember. There was police tape around playgrounds. They were censoring speech
outdoors.
You know, kids. By the way, we opened up a parent portal in Missouri where parents could reach out to us. There were kids who refused to wear a mask, even though they didn't have to wear a mask, who were put on stages in the middle of gyms, isolated from their classmates to humiliate them. Like, this is the world that we were living in, and we document that in the book. But I think the way I view it now, more historically, is that in this wild, crazy time that was defined by social unrest, lockdowns, and the Biden administration's overreach, we kind of held the line for the freedoms we hold most dear until the cavalry could come. And the cavalry arrived in November 2024 when President Trump was brought, you know, was elected by the popular vote, even though they were trying to bury him, his family, bankrupt his family, put him in jail for the rest of his life. And so now that we're on the other side of it, what are the lessons that can be learned? And that's what The Last Line of Defense is all about. That's what the book's about.
That's right.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It is a playbook, a legal playbook, a call to arms. And the MAGA conservative is going to be interested in this. But I think a lot of people who maybe have woken up to how outrageous those times were and are watching Donald Trump succeed right now, if they want to take a peek back through your eyes on what was going on, how you saw it from a legal standpoint, from a patriot standpoint, The Last Line of Defense, How to Beat the Left in Court. Folks need to get this book. I can't wait to read it. I lived it there.
You'll really like it because honestly, I was coming on your show when we would file some new lawsuit against and we just kind of were methodically, and at the time they could have seemed like battles here or there.
Yeah.
But in the aggregate now, this really was the defense of our freedoms. And to this day, Annie, I'll still, when I'm at Schnucks, Somebody will come up to me, typically a mom will come up to me and say, you know what, thanks for standing up for our kids when not a lot of people were willing to do that.
So
and,
true.
That's
why we play Can't Stop by the Red Hot Chili Peppers when Eric Schmidt is on the show, because we said, please don't stop. You're doing such a great job. We'll be checking out the book. Thank you so much, Senator, for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thanks, Annie.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I can't wait to read this book. This is one that I think is going to be able to just, like, you can't put it down because you, when you've lived it, when you've experienced it, but now you get to get a peek behind the curtain as to how they were fighting it. People like Attorney General Eric Schmidt, when he was in the state of Missouri, this was like the first affirmation that the things that I was thinking, that you were thinking, like, this is crazy, right? What are they doing? You can't do that in America. That's nuts. And Attorney General Eric Schmidt is like, no, you can't do that. That's nuts. And also illegal. We're going to fight it. And he wins. And it makes you go, I don't think I'm crazy. It's on Audible. I'm going to listen to the audiobook. I want you to go get it. The Last Line of Defense by Senator Eric Schmidt. Quick break. Let's get Ryan back in here. Was there some news?
They came out. I thought they were going to do a press conference, but it was just a photo op. So it was all the European leaders and President Trump.
So they're shifting from one meeting to another, maybe?
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Zelensky and all them together.
Everything happening in D.C. We've got it covering. We're covering it live for you right here on 97.1 FM Talk, St. Louis Conservative. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.